2024-12 Symphony Glen.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 109.65 acres plus or minus into 219 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County. The property is lying on the northwest side of Pettyjohn Road, which is Sussex County Route 255, approximately 0.2 mile northeast of Prettyman Road, which is Sussex County Route 254. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 25, Parcel 44.00. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, submitted into the record for 2024-12. We have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits. We have a copy of the staff review letter. We have a copy of the proposed restrictive covenants for the subdivision. We have a copy of the artesian willing to serve letter. We have a copy of the school district notification letter. We have a copy of the applicant's resource buffer management plan. We have a copy of the State Plus comments and the applicant's response to the State Plus comments. We have a copy of the LDOT service level evaluation response letter, a copy of the applicant's TIS and the TIS review letter received from LDOT. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment. We have a copy of comments that have been received from the Technical Advisory Committee, including Delaware Department of Transportation, the DENREC Drainage Program, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, the Delaware Electric Co-op, and Delmarva Power. And I would note that we have received one written comment, which is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. Mr. Fuqua.
Oh, this is like the second half of the football game. So, again, just for the record, my name's James Fuqua. I'm representing the applicant, Rivera Development, and still with me are John Stamato on behalf of the developer, and Mark Davidson, Alan Dechter, Eric Ball from Pannoni Associates. And again, an exhibit book was submitted for the record containing the pertinent information about the subdivision and the Section 99C report and the plus response letter. This is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision containing 219 single family lots to be called Symphony Glen. The land fronts on the western side of Pettyjohn Road. There are mainly woodlands, agricultural lands, and a borrow pit located to the south and west of the site. The northern boundary of the site is adjacent to two residential parcels and the proposed Windscape Farm subdivision, which was the subject of the application the hearing we just had. So much of the information I'm going to be presenting is similar to that was provided on the Windscape application. As I stated, the reason that this subdivision and Windscape are two separate applications rather than one subdivision results from the different parcels coming under contract at different times and the two applications being filed 13 months apart. Windscape was filed in October 23 and Symphony was filed in November of 24 because of the location and the relationship to developments for both public hearings were scheduled together today, as opposed to the Symphony Glen. We'd be waiting another 12 months before we'd be getting to this application. So it was recognized that it was better to schedule them together. Symphony Glen contains 109.65 acres of mostly cleared farmland. There's two pockets of non-tidal wetlands and woods located on the site. So that entire site is farmland. You can see the area where the wetlands are located. The site is zoned AR1. It's located in the low density area of the 2018 comp plan. And as I stated before, cluster subdivisions are a permitted use in the AR1 zoning district. And I'm just going to reemphasize that because one of the lady that spoke in opposition stated, you know, hold these things off, don't let them happen. This is a permitted use. I mean, it's in the zoning code. In the AR1 district, it is a permitted use. The county has said that, and that's what the law says. The council can change the law if they choose to change the law, but as long as they don't change it, this is a permitted use. And I understand people's frustration who are against certain developments, but again, I advise my client what the law is, and that is what the law is. As I stated before, central water for this subdivision will be provided by Artesian Water Company, central sewer by Artesian Wastewater Management, electricity by Delaware Electric Cooperative. Pannoni Associates did perform a wetland delineation. That determined that there are 1.94 acres of non-title wetlands located on the site. You can see where the locations are. The one location contains 1.11 acres and the other one 0.83 acres of non-title wetlands. Stormwater management will comply with Denrec soil conservation design and construction requirements. We've spoken about this, and as I stated on the prior application, there is a natural drainage swale running south to north across the site, which connects those two wetland parcels and then goes on to the windscape piece, again with the flow, when it flows, going in a northerly direction. The drainage on this site, can you put the aerial up? Okay, as you can see, the wetland areas are very distinct. You can see those. The rest of this is all farm fields. The drainage way that we've been talking about lacks any defined beds or banks because it has been impacted by the farming operation. The applicant plans to install pipes, of course, for roadway crossings, and to restore this drainage area to a much more natural type of drainage. And I don't know what happens upstream from this in terms of the drainage, but as far as here, this will be improving any type of drainage that's gonna cross this area and then continue on to the windscape property. So I don't know whether that addresses what the concern was. Like I said, I don't know what happened south of this site, but this will no longer just be a flat farm field. It will have a natural contour type drainage area on it. The site is in Zone X on the FEMA flood insurance maps. As you can see, the majority of the site is cleared farmland. There's approximately 4.76 acres of woodlands. The woodlands surround the two wetland areas. Jamie, you could go back to the site plan, please. Thanks. All of the woodlands will remain as they are now, except for selective clearing where necessary. Now, as to traffic, and again, on both these subdivisions, DelDOT reviews these and DelDOT makes a determination on what's required. On this subdivision, because of the size and the impact, a traffic impact study was required. So there was a traffic impact study that was performed on this by Pannoni Associates that was done in accordance with DelDOT specifications. The TIS was reviewed by DelDOT, and DelDOT issued its TIS review letter on May 22nd of this year. And the DelDOT review letter requires the following. The applicant will be required to improve Pettyjohn Road within the road frontage and design and construct the development entrance to DelDOT standards. The entrance will be designed with an approximate 185-foot left turn lane and 190-foot right turn lane. The applicant will also be required to make monetary contributions for an equitable share of four DelDOT roadway improvement programs. Number one, the realignment of a portion of Pettyjohn Road north of Route 9 so that Pettyjohn Road will intersect at a 90-degree angle. I think right now it intersects at a sharper angle, so that's going to be straightening that angle out. The applicant's contribution to that will be $31,528. Number two, the applicant will contribute to the traffic signal revolving fund for a potential future improvement at the Route 9 Harbison Road intersection, and that contribution would be $6,379. Three, the applicant would contribute to future improvements to construct a single lane roundabout at the intersection of Harbison Road, Shingle Point Road, and Chestnut Road. That would be done when DLDOT determines it's appropriate to do it. The applicant's contribution to that improvement would be $412,371. And lastly, the applicant will contribute to a future improvement to construct a single-lane roundabout at the intersection of Harbison and Sand Hill Road, and the applicant's contribution to that will be $204,586,000. So in total, based on the TIS, the applicant's equitable share contributions to these projects will exceed $650,000. Now, nowhere in the either application's DLDOT review did they require anything about improving Pettyjohn Road other than within the road frontage, which is standard. You have to do the road frontage in front of you. Yet they did require all these improvements. So I can't address Pettyjohn Road other than that DLDOT didn't see that it was a necessary improvement. But DLDOT did require the contribution to these improvements.
No multi-use path, so I didn't hear you mention that on Pettyjohn.
I think that's pretty standard on
okay. The
road frontage.
All right, I didn't hear that.
If not built, then dedicated easement. Okay, I think, I don't know where the criteria to build it is.
The rep is shaking his head, yes.
Now, again, in determining the subdivision design for this subdivision, the area most appropriate for preservation was identified, and rather obviously, there are the two wetland pockets and the adjacent woodlands. The remainder of the property was deemed appropriate for development, and roads and sidewalks and lots were then laid out based on that. So as shown on the subdivision plan, the development will contain 219 single-family lots. That's a density of 1.99 lots per acre in compliance with the permitted cluster subdivision density. The smallest lot will be 7,500 square feet. The largest is 15,379 square feet. The average lot size is 8,421 square feet. The entrance, as you can see, will be from Pettyjohn Road. It will comply with DLDOT design and construction requirements, and it will have separate entrance and exit lanes coming in from Pettyjohn Road and out to Pettyjohn Road. Streets will be private with sidewalks on one side of the street, downward directed street lighting. All lots front on development streets, and the back of almost every lot is adjacent to development open space. As I've mentioned before, there is a road connection in the northwest corner, which would be the top right of the property, creating interconnectivity with the proposed Windscape subdivision, and also an easement reserve for a possible future connection to land to the west, and that land is currently the agricultural land and the Barrow Pit. So that's near the interconnectivity to Windscape. You can see it as a green on that map. As to the recreational area, it will, as I said before, consist of a clubhouse with a minimum square footage of 1,500 square feet, an outdoor swimming pool and deck, a tot lot, and there's a walking trail within the development. There would also be 20 parking spaces located at the recreational area. As you recall, I mentioned earlier that the recreational facilities would be used by residents of Windscape, and it will be sized to accommodate the residents of both developments. Also, as I mentioned on the Windscape hearing, the applicant has been working with the Sussex County Land Trust to create a multi-use path that would potentially connect Milton and the Land Trust forest property on Broadkill. Again, it's only in the planning stages, but the applicant has proposed that the path would cross both the Windscape property and the Symphony Glen property. On this site, the path would be located in the area of open space surrounding the two wooded wetland areas. You can see that's all open space there, and that could fit in there pretty easily. The perimeter of the site will have a 30-foot forested or landscape buffer as shown on the site plan. There's a 50-foot setback from agricultural lands, as well as a 30-foot resource buffer from the non-tidal wetlands, a minimum 30-foot resource buffer. The development will have a total open space of 52.9 acres, which is approximately 48.2% of the site, and that includes over 30% of the open space being in a contiguous area surrounding the wetlands and wooded areas. Again, the site is served by the Milton Fire Company, our fire department, and it's in the Cape Hennepin School District, and the development will have a homeowners association responsible for enforcing the restrictions and maintaining all common areas and community properties. I also want to mention that Mr. Stamato has an agreement with the Sussex County Habitat for Humanity to, I'll say, partially donate 9 improved lots to Habitat in the development. Habitat will actually pay 1/2 of the development costs per lot. If Habitat obtains any waivers or waivers of impact or review fees, then that amount would be credited toward Habitat's contribution. To make that a little bit clearer.
Please.
Okay. A finished improved lot in the subdivision will have an estimated value of $150,000. Okay, Habitat's cost per lot, half of the lot improvement costs, would be about $50,000. So for each of the 9 lots that Habitat acquires, it's going to cost them $50,000, and they're going to be getting a $150,000 lot. So it's a savings of approximately $100,000 per lot. Those numbers I just used are probably solid numbers, but again, there'll be credits up and down, things of that nature. So the lots will not all be located in one area. There may be 2 together, but they're going to be spread out throughout the community.
For a total of 9.
For a total of 9. And there is a written executed agreement that I think was submitted in the record. Was it in the exhibit book?
I didn't see it.
I think it's in the exhibit book. Okay. Again, I'm going to submit for your consideration proposed findings and conditions. And if you'd like any more information about the drainage,
before
they can
address
that better than I can.
Yeah.
As far as the road, like I said, we did everything with Del Dutt we're required to do, and there's a significant contribution that's being made. And with that, I'm not going to conclude our presentation yet. Would you like him to address the drainage?
Yes.
Before we start with questions, I'd like for Mr. Decker to come up and address the drainage specifically in those 2 areas and the concerns that the gentleman had in the last part of the last hearing. Please.
Hello. My name is Alan Decker, professional engineer with Pannoni Associates. And just your last question, appendix or tab 8 has the Habitat MOU.
Thank you.
If you were looking for that. So some of the items. So drainage. This drainage ditch does basically start at Azalea Woods at Route 30, and that's the upstream end of it, moving north through these properties. So
on that map, Azalea Woods would be to the left.
Correct. Yes. So, and I mean, I personally drive down Prettyman to go to work, and there's a very small pipe, downout pipe under Prettyman. It's just west of the new 4-way stop sign intersection. That's just to the left of this property. And at any given time, if you look to the left, going down Prettyman to the south, you can see the water build up, you know, a good foot or two along the fence line. So there's definitely issues of flooding possibly on the upstream end of it. But what we're going to do on this property and Windscape is in coordination with SED and DENREC, because of the farming activities, this ditch has kind of been flattened out, things like that. So we're going to restore this. We're going to do a tiered stormwater facility. So we have the 2 ponds you see kind of in the ditch alignment. So these ponds are going to be factored into the regrading and
storage capacity
of this, with positive drainage through the property into Windscape and then so forth as it moves down to the down the properties. I think it ultimately connects to Round Pool Branch downstream. But that is the...
So which way is the flow go? Can we get that other map up that the gentleman was referring to, and please?
It flows left to right.
Yeah, so if it starts, it comes right under here. There's the pipe I was talking about, and it works its way probably down this property line through this property, and then you can see the contours more defined.
Well, the gentleman that was up here earlier was saying that the water is flowing down onto his property, so that's not correct?
No, it all flows this way. Azalea Woods is the most upstream end of this ditch system, where they put the new pipes under Gravel Hill Road. But then what I've heard from just what I've heard is that, you know, Azalea Woods is redoing their drainage to reroute their runoff in a different direction because of what's been happening, I think, between Route 30 and this area.
So they're the ones that's really caused, it sounds like, maybe potentially causing a problem. And
yeah. I mean,
but what you're going to, are you connecting those two wetland areas with piping?
No. Only would need piping where the roads are crossing. Everything else would, the ditch itself would be redefined, and then the ponds would be added in there to create a new drainage way.
Okay. And you've been working, obviously, with soil conservation in DENREC with what you're proposing, and that's what's accepted.
They're very excited for the restorative nature of this ditch area.
So in your opinion, what you're going to be doing is to eliminate some of the water that's sitting now? The way you're going to be handling it?
If this property is causing any impact to upstream flooding, then that would be resolved with the improvements that we would be proposing on this property.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for?
No, that's good information.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if you want me to talk about the artesian, so the Four Winds Farm, or Four Winds Farm subdivision is under construction, and the water for the subdivision for domestic, for hydrants, it all comes through Windscape and down Pettyjohn, and it ultimately connects at the entrance of Azalea Woods. That's how the water service is getting.
That's where their right-of-way is to already put it in there.
Yes, that's what's been established through coordination with Artesian and DelDOT, so that's what's being installed now. And then the pump station in Four Winds and the off-site force main, that leaves the Four Winds subdivision and comes down Shingle Point Road, ultimately down to Route 30 and ties into an existing force main there. So that's how those utilities are being routed. The pump station in Four Winds, the 49 lots for Windscape has already been factored into the design because that was a earlier subdivision, you know, that was kind of on the books when we were doing that final engineering. And then with coordination with Artesian, there's, you know, hopefully simple changes. We can make the pump station work for Symphony Glen as well. And that's how the sewer would be routed through there. And then for water, it's along our frontage to tie into for both of these subdivisions. And then lastly, for DelDOT, with Pettyjohn Road, it's a tarnship road. But through that process, the frontage would be improved to standard 11-foot travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders, turn lanes as needed. And then they have a process where they go out and do a core of the roadway to tell how thick it is. And then they would tell us what to design the proposed improvement too. So it might need 4 inches of additional pavement, 6 inches. They'll dictate that to us to get it up to the structural integrity of the proposed traffic using the road.
One more question, speaking of evaluations. Have there been any soil studies done on site that would address any of the concerns they had with any potential contaminants?
Yeah, I mean, a phase one environmental report, basically, you do a site assessment, right? And then you look at historical documents. So whatever public historical documents that can be found, we reach out to different public agencies and get that information back, and then that report is prepared. So, you know, in that analysis, nothing was determined. I mean, it's probably very hard to see if there is anything in there. It's very thick underbrush in those woods, at least on Windscape. I mean, Symphony Glen is wide open. There's nothing there.
Would you be required to do soil analysis if you ran into what could be potential contaminations once construction started?
Yeah, if something was determined through the phase one, then a phase two would be done to further analysis that, but nothing was found.
Well, I guess the follow-up question, though, is if you're out there doing site work and you come across something, what
That's
happens?
That's where then? I'm at. What I'm at
yes,
yeah.
yes. So if anything was discovered out there, then further investigation would be done.
Okay. All right. Anybody else on the commission have any questions?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Wrap it up.
And that would conclude our presentation, subject to any other questions you may have.
Okay, you may have a seat, sir. All right, is there anybody here that would like to speak?
You wanted, did the commission have any questions?
I am so sorry, thank you.
For Mr. Fuqua?
Yes.
Before you sit down.
Don't sit, yeah. Your knee might be telling you to, but no. I'm sorry, thank you. Mr. Butler, do you have any questions?
I think we breezed through some of these. I just want to put these two separate developments using the same amenities together in my head before. I just want to think about it.
All right, Mr. Collins?
I do have one question. So I browsed through the proposed findings and conditions. I didn't, where I could have overlooked mention of the habitat contribution. Would that be acceptable to be added as a condition if it's not there?
I didn't put it in there because it's kind of a private thing. I didn't know whether the county would want to get involved in that. The agreement with Habitat is executed. I did put a copy of that in there. Now, if you want to mention that, that's fine. It's agreed to.
Thank you. Oh, and I should probably ask, no contributions suggested in here as, or offered as, for the fire, EMS, or school system, right?
Yeah, again, there was nothing discussed.
Thank you.
Same concerns. Mr. Mears?
My questions were answered by the engineer.
Okay.
Good.
Staff?
No, for me, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Robertson?
I have a couple.
Thank you.
His shoulders just slump. Now, the first one, just a clarification. You mentioned, and I just, a borrow pit, and then it sounded like that was on the adjacent property. Was
correct.
There an old one on this one or no?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought at the beginning.
It's on the properties over west.
That's what I thought, and I misheard the beginning. The other one, it just strikes me with the amenities, not any issues that we talked about before, but if they're shared, it doesn't look like there's any, like, pathway for people to get to them. In other words, if you're in the one development, you have to either go out on Pettigen Road or you've got to go, you know, up and around and come all the way back to the amenities. Was there any thought given to, like, a bike path or sidewalk between the two?
It could be, I think, and I don't know whether... It could be. I don't know, wasn't any thought given to that, actually.
Okay. You sit through enough of these meetings,
I do want to mention one other thing on that, though. If these were different developers, the Windscape would have a very small amenity package because it's a very small development. You wouldn't put a pool or anything like that in there. It would have a park, maybe a tot lot, something like that. And then on the larger one, of course, you have the more traditional recreational complex. So this shared use, it's really the Windscape Park is going, the Windscape subdivision is going to be getting the benefit of having these greater amenities that they would never have. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Nobody's trying to get away with something. It's just a situation where we can share it. So
I don't think we're suggesting it's a bad thing. I think what we're saying more, though, if they're paying the same thing for HOAs, then they should have easy access.
Yeah, it would be the same fees.
Right. And it's more just, I don't think anybody's saying it's a bad thing. I hope it wasn't taken that way. It's more just making sure it doesn't turn into a time bomb for the county, because we've seen those where there's two different developments and maybe two different builders, or one's built before the others, and, you know, people come in and say, well, I did not realize that, you know, fill in the blank, you know, and it's just more making sure that that's handled so we
I would suggest later. That whatever that agreement or binding restriction would be, you can require to see it at the time of final site plan approval. So
that's satisfied. I said, I think it's something we can work out on our side. I'm just not prepared to say
there was a certain...
Yeah, there was no assumption of bad faith on my part when I asked the question. No.
Maybe I'm just defensive getting...
It's more about looking ahead and thinking about citizen complaints if something were to go wrong.
We've kind of seen
because
that
looking
movie.
Back, we have heard them.
Yeah.
I may have neighbors.
And my other question, this is just, and maybe this is somebody on your staff, you know, you talked about the connection to with Milton and the path and the land trust property. For the life of me, I just can't figure out where that's going. I mean, I get where you're talking about on the site, but can somebody just relate that to what's on the ground, you know, on one of the maps?
Well, I don't know the answer to that because we're just focusing on the properties we had that we would contribute, make a land donation or an easement, I don't know what would be done, so that they could run through there. That's really in the land trust hands on what
they're trying to plan. How far away is like the nearest point of connection to that, you know? I'm just...
I don't know what the...
I'm not asking for specifics, just generalities, like, you know what I mean?
Again, Alan Dechter, professional engineer with the Pinoni Associates. So I guess the the reason for it is, instead of just a pathway kind of down the road, is with all these subdivisions, we thought it would be, in coordination with the Sussex County Land Trust, we thought it would be a better pathway through these properties, and that's really the purpose of it.
Yeah, no, I, like I said, I'm not questioning the purpose. I was just like, where's the land trust property, you know, in relation to,
so it's,
you know, just to try to orient everybody.
To the south, to the south.
Okay. Yeah,
so if you go down to Route 30. I'm trying to get my bearing. I believe it's this.
Okay.
And then, you know, you would work your kind of way up through Shingle Point Road.
Gotcha. No, just for informational sake, because we talked about it and what it connected to, but I just didn't know.
How does that happen?
How that fit in with all the rest of it. So that's all the questions I have.
And again, as I said, it's really in the very early stage.
Oh, no, I understand. And I don't, it's so early that I don't even know that it would be appropriate necessarily to include that as a condition necessarily, because it's so speculative. It was just more informational.
Okay. All right, was there anything else?
No, but I would say this. I think if, again, if the commission's going to act favorably upon it, probably would need to take care of that possibility, like in the preservation of open space and trees, because if that's going to change that a little bit, we'd have to at least reference that.
Okay.
So that there's not any confusion later on if something changes because of paths going through.
That's why I mentioned, because I didn't want to have to go to a second public hearing to change the site.
Right, right.
That makes sense. Okay. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of 2024-12 Symphony Glen? Favor? Give us your name, sir. You may have the floor.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Gilmore. I'm the CEO of Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. It's already been mentioned, but I just wanted for the record to state that we support this project, and we're happy to see a commitment to 9 lots to provide accessible, affordable workforce housing in this part of the county. I think it could be a big step forward in an initiative to provide more accessible housing.
That's great. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is anyone here who would like to speak in opposition? Take turns.
Long time no see.
All right. Give us your name again, please.
Got it. My name is Stephen Fuchs. I live at 24783 Prettyman Road, which on that map, butts right here. And again, this is the whole, well, the drainage is an issue, definitely an issue. And it comes from Azalea Woods. But the other thing is, you know, every one of them puts in these retaining ponds with rubber on the bottom. And all the water that should have drained into the soil sits there. Now, it looks like we're gonna have, if you had the other one, we're gonna have some ponds back here. What does a pond do? Pond brings in animals, maybe, but it brings in a lot of bugs. There's an issue up further up on 30 where one of the water companies, I don't want to say it, has put in a big water facility, and they are inundated with bugs and all sorts of stuff from that being one of the problems. So the other thing, as I saw, where they're going to improve Pettyjohn right in front of that. Well, what about the rest of it? Where are all the cars going? They're not stopping and going across, they're going all the way down to that intersection here. That intersection.
Well, they did testify that
they're
making monetary contributions to some of the other areas, but that's on DelDOT.
Yeah, and I, being a former engineer, I'd actually like to see what they're proposing, because I couldn't even put it in my head where they were trying to do these little roundabouts and 90 degree thing. I'm like, what do you mean? They're all, except for Shingle Point. So that's a huge impact on this area. It's like every area that is has small amounts of people are a target for a large amount of people. As I said, there's no at the moment anything that for the fire department, Milton Fire Department, my gosh. The school district, we're getting inundated left and right. They're trying to pass all sorts of stuff for money. It's all money that's got to come from somewhere, and it usually comes from the residents around here.
Appreciate that argument.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the traffic down Prettyman now from all the surroundings has, if it hasn't doubled, lightning can strike me down. It's got to be more than that. And luckily, we were able to get that four-way stop in because they were coming down the streets, or I could tell you the same thing, bypassing the brand new stop signs. We don't need them anymore. So it's, we have animals, we have a little farm area in our property and other things. So we're very concerned about that and the amount of traffic that will possibly impact the whole area. So,
understand.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Sir, you're up next.
Okay. I'll go on my drainage.
Give us your name again, please.
The next problem is.
Sir, can you give us your name again, please?
Oh, Kevin Jester. I'm sorry. I live across the street, 18117 Petty John River.
Thank you.
The next problem is, let's say they fix all the drainage on their property. Go down to Route 5. I work for DelDOT. There's no drainage pipe to go across the street on Route 5. It's going to bottleneck. You're going to take all your water. Now it's going to be down there. So now it's somebody else's problem. They don't care because they've made their money. And it's going to be all down to Route 5. And come on, $500,000 isn't bringing a construction company to do any work. I mean, you average $1 million a mile. And they're doing in front of their property and the rest of Petty John Road shit with it. They don't care. Sorry. They don't care about the rest of Petty John Road. They don't care about the schools. They don't care about the fire company. I mean, it's just pure greed here. And they could care less. I mean, the dude from Maryland, once he gets his money, he's out of here. And it's just it's a bad idea. It's a bad spot. People who don't care. You got other places on Petty John Road that floods. And now we're going to have thousands of new people here. And it's just ridiculous.
Have you called Soil Conservation District with regards to this flooding and made formal complaints with them to get them out there to try to address it? You might want to try to do that.
But like I said, down the road, I work for DelDOT. We've done work down there. There's no drain down there. So now they're going to take their water. It's going down the road. Like I said, Petty John Road, $500,000 isn't fixing Petty John Road, let alone what they think they're going to do.
Yeah.
And nothing for the school. The school just graduated 460 people. And there's like 2,000 people just at the high school, or kids. There's no room for the kids.
That's a problem throughout the county. I agree with you.
No room.
Yep.
The fire companies are begging for a new tax because stuff's so expensive for the fire companies. They got so much more. Nobody wants to volunteer anymore. They're going to have a.
They had a big discussion at the county council meeting on that yesterday. I don't know if you listened to the hearing.
I didn't, I'm
you
sorry.
Should. It was very informative.
Yeah, they're going to have to eventually get paid fire companies, and eventually we're going to have a tax. But these people don't care. They're not giving a penny to the fire company. No, I mean, how much greedier can you be than these people right here?
No, not yet.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's straight up.
Stick on the issue. Stick on the.
All right.
Yeah.
Please don't make my first meeting difficult.
I will not call names anymore, but it's just the whole thing's a crappy idea at a crappy area. Okay. And then they want to butt into 600 more homes on the other side. We don't know how many people are coming over here. And like I said, $500,000 is not doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm sorry to keep harping on that.
Yeah.
But I know the prices of these things.
Right. But they're not the ones to set that amount. I will defend them on that. It's coming from DelDOT, what their contribution needs to be.
And
so maybe talk to some of your superiors.
They have a little compassion and say, let's do all.
I understand.
When a development gets done, we should be able to look at it and be like, yeah, they did something for the area. We got a better school. We got a better firehouse. But this has nothing.
Could we clarify something real quick? I believe the contribution's $500,000 plus you have to improve the road as well, right, in front of the development. You have a contribution to make that has been set by DelDOT, and you have to improve what's in your frontage.
You have to do the entrance
But hold on, wait, we can only have one at a time. So let this gentleman continue speaking.
Yeah, just we'll want to clarify that when you're gone,
sir. They're wanting to do just in front, and the whole area is just, it is
a radical. I will say this again, though. It's not that they're wanting to do that, and I'm not saying this to stick up for this developer or any other developers. That is what DelDOT is requiring, and there's an issue there whether you think that's enough that DelDOT's requiring from any developer, and we see that in every subdivision that we see. It's just the road frontage. That's not this developer or a particular developer saying, this is all I'm going to do. This is what DelDOT, who owns the roads, is saying, we're requiring you to do. And the problem is, too, a developer, you know, people might think, and this is just for the benefit of the audience, well, the developer should just do more, you know. If you're going to develop, you should do more. Well, the flip side of that is DelDOT won't let you do more because they own the rest of the roads, and they're only going to let you improve what they say, which is the frontage right in,
well,
you know.
Well, I mean, they can voluntarily add more money. I mean, like I said, they're not adding nothing to the whole anything anyway. I mean, it's just.
Now, I hear your frustration. I will say the commission feels that as well because, you know, DelDOT's got a lot on its plate, but, you know, we hear these contribution numbers, and, you know, it just makes you question whether they're sufficient or not. You know, and again, that's not for this developer. That's a more sort of Sussex County, maybe state of Delaware issue.
And on the flip side of that, some of these contributions are very substantial.
Yeah.
And where's that money going?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Probably not the road.
That would be more of my question. So, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, right, thank you. All right, is there anybody else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Before we do that, could we have the contribution
on
the road improvements and the road contribution?
Yeah, the applicant has to build the entrance to DelDOT standards. That does involve turn lanes, okay? He does have to do the road improvement, you know, both sides of the road for the frontage of the development, okay? And then the contributions to the DelDOT projects, it's something over $650,000. They're in the TS review letter, stated very specifically what they have to do, and that is the contribution.
In that $650,000, that is outside of the road frontage,
that's correct. That's monetary contributions to DelDOT.
That is
in addition to improvements.
It's to improve other aspects of the infrastructure and the roads that.
Yeah, in addition to the entrance and the turn lanes and things.
Yeah.
I understand people's frustration, but maybe they can understand my frustration. The county has an MOU with DelDOT. They're saying, this is how we do it. If you meet the standard, you got to do a TIS. We'll review it and we'll tell you what you have to do. That's what was done in this case. And it's significant, the contribution has to be made. That's what DelDOT said, and that's the way the system works. And, you know, there's just not a lot of people voluntarily going out and building roads, even if they could. But anyway, that's how the process works.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Ma'am, you may have the floor.
I'm Vicki Fuchs. I live at 24783 Prettyman Road with that crazy guy back there. I'm wondering, has Delaware Electric approved this? Because we currently have brownouts very regularly, complete and total blackouts, so much so that we purchased a generator for our home, a whole house generator because of that. We're constantly resetting clocks because of the brownouts and whatnot.
Wow, they do have that in your area all the time.
Yeah, all the time. So 219 more homes in that division and then the 49 in the other. That's going to be a huge load on the.
Have you always had that issue or just since the new development? Okay.
Yeah, always. So.
No, there was a commitment letter
Delaware Electric would.
That's the co-op?
No, yes.
Delaware co-op, yeah.
Wow.
And again, I'm very, very concerned about the water issue. Our driveway has been underwater numerous times because of the drainage from Azalea Woods going up to the lack of drainage in that other place. I mean,
well, hopefully
it
sounds like they're addressing the one in Azalea Woods, so hopefully that will relieve some of what you're seeing. If not, I would encourage you to call Soil Conservation District every single day.
We've had Soil Conservation out. We've had county engineers. We've had all kinds of people up and down taking soil samples. Yeah, that's happened already.
It's frustrating, I know.
Yeah. And then again, as my husband said earlier, where are the deer going to go? Where are the animals? We have eagles that live in the trees there.
Yeah.
That's going to, you know, upend them. So for somebody's pocket, sorry.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, okay. I can actually assist. In the packet, in the record, there's a letter from Delaware Electric Co-op from the Vice President and, of Engineering saying that they have facilities in the area to serve the proposed units.
Yeah, I saw that too. Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. Okay, Liam. It's on. Okay, thank you.
I'm Christine Fletcher. My parents live on the property next to where the subdivision gone. My father, Carl, and Dar Shermer. The map. Can I show where they live on
sure.
the map?
Sure. Put the map back up, please, Mr. Whitehouse.
It's hard when you're sitting out here and people are pointing at the map that no one else can
see.
So my parents live right here on this piece where I grew up, and drainage is an understatement. The water standing is an understatement. We've lost an entire litter of dogs one year, and that was many years ago. The field prohibits the drainage to go out of my parents' backyard, and my parents will be 80 this year, so that's an upkeep for them that they have to worry about. And then with mosquitoes and things like that, it's just bothersome, worrisome for them that they will have to deal with additional drainage if it's not fixed. And Mr. Dechter, you said that you go by Kate.
Excuse me,
you have to address us. I'm sorry. He mentioned that he goes by, there's some flooding in the ditches. What he has seen is minimum compared to what they have experienced living there when it's not draining. My parents have had soil conservation. They've gone through all the proper procedures to get people out, and then they're told there's not a problem. There's not an issue there. But when you have enough water in your yard standing where you could actually run a ducking boat with a motor on it, through your backyard, there is an issue there.
And that problem has been going on for how many years?
It's been going on for many years. It did exist somewhat prior to Azalea Woods going on, but it is continual. Depending on the amount of rain that occurs in a year, depends on how the flooding occurs. My parents do have a little right away between them and the neighbor. They ride their golf cart through there. They can't even get through there in the last couple of years when we've had overflow of rain to even get to the neighbors because they just can't travel that way.
Okay.
And they also have another neighbor that has flooding in their yard as well. So to block that off, then that could be another issue for more water to stand in their yard and compromise their well, their septic, things of that nature. So that's okay. Where our concern is for our parents.
All right, thank okay. you. Does anybody else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Ms. Tindall.
My name is Susan Davis Tindall. My husband and I live at 18199 Pettyjohn Road, Milton, Delaware. Which is, I'm going to show you on the map. We live here. We own this whole farm here. My husband's family owned this farmland here and farmed where this proposed development's going to go. So now the cousin can no longer farm because this will be. We're looking at Azalea, which I believe is here.
Or is it that over to the? Where's Azalea? Is it
this one?
To the right. Yeah. There you go.
Sir, yeah, we can't have multiple people at the map, so we'll handle it.
So, my husband grew up a road over from Pettyjohn. They used to take a boat where Azalea Woods is on that ground. Everyone that lives here knows that ground flooded for years and years and years and years. So, they didn't do a lot of due diligence, I don't think, when they looked at developing it, although they must have known because they have a lot of stormwater ponds in that development to help. But we noticed after those ponds went in, they put, it looked to me like two pipes. I think Kevin mentioned one. I thought there was two One drains down on this same side where this proposed property was. I believe the other one goes down into the ditch that runs behind our house. That ditch is quite wide. I don't have the dimensions with me, but that floods. It gets beyond the ditching that's there. If this gets built, it's all concrete. You guys know it's not dirt anymore. It is however many homes that is in here, and it's concrete, it's driveways. Where's that water gonna go? It's between Azalea and that and the next development and then the one it's connecting to. And they're still interested in other land. We get calls daily for our farm. They want all that farmland they want. They want to develop it all. Where is that water going to go? I don't know. So I will take your advice to call Stormwater and file something with them. As far as Habitat, I applaud them for attempting. We had another project that was supposed to be for workforce housing. I never knew it only had to, I believe, be 10% of the total project. Out of all those homes, 9 homes for affordable housing. What is 9 homes doing? 9 homes is doing nothing out of, what, 1,500 out of all these developments. They're doing 9. I mean, 9's great, 9's something. But to push that as like, yay, we're doing 9 homes. 9 doesn't put a dent in my daughter teaches, my son does heating and air. They can't afford $600,000 homes. That's not helping. You know, I know they want to put it out there like, look, we're doing a good thing. That's nothing. The path that they're discussing as another perk to push this to you guys, that path is, that property they're discussing is nowhere near that. Now, I don't know, maybe they have something already in the works that I'm not aware of. There is a path in the town of Milton, which is much further from there. It's not within, I'd say it's probably a good 6 miles maybe to get to that path. And the property they're speaking of is further down Route 30. So it's not like, oh, it's a little path we're putting right to this other area. It's not right there. So I hope that you can check on that for us. The other thing is just a little story. My son, when he was a little boy, we sat out there at the end of our driveway, and we saw a bald eagle. I didn't know Delaware had bald eagles, just so that you all know, okay? It was beautiful. It was majestic sitting there feasting on this little deer that unfortunately met its demise. But that was such a beautiful moment, and we're losing that. And I hope, because that eagle we watched for months, I hope somebody's going to do some kind of a study, because although eagles are no longer protected, their nests are protected. Their nests are a protected thing, and apparently from some reading I've done, they can switch between multiple nests, and they're protected. So I hope somebody is gonna look into whether or not those eagles are still there, because my son's now grown and I don't sit at the end of the driveway anymore to look for them. But I hope that somebody takes the time to check that out. And I think that was all my comments, I think. They're taking all the wildlife, you guys. I don't know. All these homes, 3,000 people. We had wild turkeys. My son hunts out back on our property, on our farm, and another property that we have. We get calls. As soon as he came out of the woods, we had people called, you know, the game warden, and they're waiting. Of course, they checked everything. He was good, but they're complaining because they're not used to it. They complained about our lovely sharecropper that sprays our fields.
There should be a condition, and there probably was with Azalea Woods, because that isn't that old. That it was a hunting notice in there.
And poor Cormans, you know, they go to spray fields or spray. We have tall trees. They're calling up, why is this plane flying so low? Because you live in an area that's agricultural.
That should have been in a notice as well. Probably was.
So,
stick up for them.
I don't know. The wild turkeys.
Farmers and the hunters.
Awesome. I don't know. But they're going to be gone, and my grandkids aren't going to get to see them. So I hope we can figure out something to slow this down. Again, I'm not against growth. I'm not. You have to grow. But we don't have to grow where we literally, on our little road, have like four developments right there within 2 miles. It's insane. And the fire company, God help me if my house burns down, because they won't be able to get to me. It's bad. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Tindall. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition? No, one trip per customer, sorry. Is there anything else or anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anybody on the commission or staff have any other comments, questions? No.
Just a clarification, I believe the requirement is that any stormwater on these sites is kept on these sites beyond, like nothing else is supposed to leave the site beyond what leaves the site today, right? That's the requirement.
From a flow perspective. So that's all analyzed between preliminary and final. So if you can't receive a letter of no objection, then you can't get final.
Thank you.
Okay, there'll be no other comments or questions. I will close the public hearing number 2024-12, Symphony Glen.